Sun's gone now, though, Jeff.
I know this. But I still don't need my umbrella.
Hey, Jeff, think of all the respect you got today.
Right. I'm just going to go talk to somebody. I'll be right back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Start.
Okay, folks, we are moving into agenda item 13. We can see the end of the road here. Hatchery Policy C-3619, this is a review, briefing, and public comment. Ms. Peterson.
All right. All right. Thank you, Chair Carpenter, Commissioners, Deputy Director Amy Windrup, and Director Suzuin for having me today. I'm really glad to be here, even though it's a Saturday and a sunny day.
Please take your conversations out in the hallway. Thank you very much.
I'm the Fish Program Science Division Manager. Been in that role just 5 months, but with the agency for over 22 years. And this project has become near and dear to my work and my heart, and these staff sitting behind me are amazing. So I have several of the staff on the project that I'll be introducing as we go. I'm here to just give an overview of our project, the status of the project as well, basically where we are, and at the end we'll get some guidance from you on next steps, as I understand it. So just to review, in June of 2018, the commission did call for the staff to the WDFW, through the director, to review policy 3619, the hatchery and fishery reform policy, and those project elements are listed here. So commissioners asked the WDFW and in turn our staff in science division to review the scientific literature, so published studies out there, and update any scientific elements, any emerging science from the last 10 years. So we'll talk a bit more about that one. We also have a second component, the policy performance evaluation document, and we do expect that to be ready at the end of February for distribution. And we are calling this a three-legged stool, and so the third component is the third leg of the stool, or a third information stream that we can expect to have in evaluating policy alternatives, and that's the joint co-manager hatchery benefits document. This one is intended to look at the socio-ecological benefits of hatcheries and things like treaty rights, legal considerations, cultural knowledge, many different socio-economic factors, political factors that all come into play other than basically the science or the more empirically evaluated components. Basically, the people side, how do hatcheries benefit tribal and non-tribal communities? So that document, as we'll go through in the timeline of project elements, that document has not been started yet. The tribal policy folks are awaiting a meeting with state leadership and fish committee members of the commission here. And I believe that's scheduled for late February. So we're hoping that one will get started and outlined very soon. Another key piece, of course, of the project is engaging tribal co-managers in policy development. And throughout, ever since the beginning of the project, we have had regular meetings with the tribes. We listened to their input, took it into consideration. We even had supplemental reviewers from the tribes on our science review document and carefully considered their input. We're also reaching out and engaging our partners and the public throughout the process. And in the end, the commission will consider all the final reports, recommendations, and alternatives for possible policy changes, if any. So So I'll focus next on the science review document and efforts over the last over a year or so with an emerging science section to that review. The document is complete. We went through the Washington Academy of Sciences as the facilitator of this process. They completed their third and final review at the end of October of 2019, and this is the eight-member panel of the Washington Academy of Sciences and provided that independent peer review component of our work. Then we had WDFW internal reviewing conducted during December and January, sort of the last month and late in the 2019. And we did meet with internal leadership and had a four-hour workshop with them. We got Director Suzwin involved and our FISH program leadership. They read and reviewed the report. And then January 2020, we were ready to distribute the document to the commission and our tribal co-managers, partners, and the public. So the document is now out on our website, and we've significantly updated the Hatchery Reform Review page of the WDFW website. We even have the response to reviews out there. Joe Anderson and team sitting behind me. The authors are sitting behind me. Responded to the different reviews, which were very positive and favorable about the balanced approach we took and that rigorous, very, very comprehensive scientific review. So I'll stop here and mention we really found the workshop with the commission gratifying on Thursday of this week, February 6th. Our staff wrote a few comments that I'm going to relay. They truly appreciated the commission's time and engagement on a very complex topic. And we could tell you all read the report, and we were really impressed. A 168-page report, and asked really engaging questions that made us think, and we just found it pretty rewarding to engage with you on them. A lot of the discussion and questions did center on questions such as, how certain are we of the science of these studies? What is the limit of our knowledge? And those are crucial questions in any science-informed policy decision, and we consider it our responsibility as scientists to communicate those knowledge boundaries as clearly as possible. So what we can and can't do with our models, the uncertainty, and try to convey that as well. So from the beginning of the project, the team has made that goal a high priority, but it is a tough thing to do in a four-hour session. So the team just wanted to say we're open to having continued conversations in whatever format you would like. Some of the commissioner questions that you wrote on the sticky notes we didn't get to yet and things like that. I don't know what format another discussion would be in, but just wanted you to think about that. And they're here now as well if we want to, at the end, engage them on some more questions. Our second leg of the stool, a parallel effort, has been the policy performance evaluation document. And now it's been through an initial review. We're in our second draft and reviewing it internally. This document reviews the policy performance since adoption by evaluating the 11 policy guidelines in the policy 3619. And it does use a stoplight type chart format and a report card format with green, yellow, red, and we even have an orange color in there, relative to defined performance metrics, so how we could measure each guideline. The authors did complete their first draft in November of 2019. We, like I said, have had a first round of reviews, and we're in our second round of reviews. We did have a workshop on January 24th with the director, Ron Warren, FISH program leadership, to go through the material, and we will have a workshop with you all in Tri-Cities, Kennewick, on March 12th to do the same thing. And we'll be sure to release that document to you at least 2 weeks prior to the March 12th workshop to give you time to read it. This slide shows our timeline. Oh, go ahead.
Comment with regard to the report what you did last time, suggesting how to read the document, I thought was extremely helpful. I don't know where that came from, but, you know,
Joe here.
Just the way to read it and not get bogged down and get lost was really helpful in that regard. And if you come up with something great like that for the next document, mm-hmm. if there is such a way, if it follows, that would be helpful. With regard to the, maybe going back to the input that you received at now that it's been out and you're getting some feedback, you mentioned a lot of favorable comments, but always telling is where was the criticism, and how would you describe what you heard that was inconsistent with what the report provided? And I'm not looking for 4 hours. I mean, it's difficult. But were there a couple areas where there were challenges to your conclusions and your approaches?
I think the criticism I think you heard at the public comment period on after the workshop on Thursday, to be frank. So the folks that have sort of reached out to us personally, that has been favorable and sort of spoke to the balance. And really from the get-go, knowing how complicated and layered and controversial the topic is, that was really our priority from day one, was trying to be balanced and sort of stick to a fair representation of the science in all its facets.
Just to add to that, there are other sets of criticisms that we've also heard, but to a large extent, those criticisms were really extending beyond the scope of the document, where they wanted to focus on, for example, tribal treaty rights, social issues, and we acknowledged their existence, but it was beyond the scope of the document to deal with those.
I just wanted to observe that because we did hear some pushback. Looked to me as though the document was being read as advocacy, and I think it's important for us as we proceed with this process to be very clear that we're taking this as science to inform our policy making, and I certainly didn't read any advocacy. I was very pleased with how critical the evaluation of the science was and what was presented in the document in terms of shortcomings and methodology and that sort of thing. So, I think it's, as we move forward, it's important for us to acknowledge that was the purpose of this leg of the stool. It's science informing our policy making. This is a really complicated issue, and there are all sorts of other things that are going to inform our policy making that often don't with some of our other policies.
We were quite aware of that, and we did not want to step into the middle of that. We were tasked to review the science.
Yeah. And I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. This slide steps through our major milestones that we foresee in the timeline moving forward and is based on the commissioner's guidance after the December 13th meeting in Bellingham. So up on the upper left, the box there circled in red is where we are today. In February 2020, we're at the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting, and we did have the science review workshop on Thursday of this week. We have opportunity for public comment today, and we did on February 6th. At the March meeting in Tri-Cities, Kennewick, we will be there to, as I mentioned, on March 12th, have another workshop for about 4 hours and go through the key findings, synthesis of our policy performance evaluation. And we'll have opportunities for public comment there as well. Moving to the right, in April 2020, we are foreseeing at the Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting having sort of some final presentations. We could have an opportunity there, and we'll need this guidance from commissioners on some next steps as far as taking any policy alternatives and analyzing them or whatever you consider next steps to be. We could come up with key recommendations from the science paper and the policy performance evaluation paper. And again, we'll wait for your direction on that. And then we foresee at the late July, early August 2020 Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting having a markup draft version of the policy for public review to enable a two-meeting decision process by the commission, which would be ideally completed in October 2020. Now, that said, a huge area of uncertainty is the co-manager's hatchery benefits document. And I know we've wanted this to be a three-legged stool, a three streams of information coming into the commission's process on evaluating policy alternatives. However, that document is delayed. We'll meet at the end of February to discuss with tribal policy, and I think our commissioners from Fish Committee will be there as well, on where the tribes are with this, and I don't think they're totally unified, so we'll just have to work through that process. But it could be that we just have an outline or something by October. I don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty there, so just keep that in mind is all. And finally, we'll just take your questions, comments, and input.
Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just start by saying thanks again for the workshop. Thanks again for the report. The report was very well organized. I don't have a sheet of errata on there because I didn't find any. I found one little appendix thing that I'll talk to you about later. But anyway, very nice job on the report, workshop, very professionally put forward. So I'll join everybody's thanks on that. A couple of comments on the report, one thing that came up in public testimony at the workshop, and then one thing on the timeline. So this report is supposed to be an independent assessment. And so as Commissioner Thorburn said, it's important that that not be an advocacy thing and that it is your assessment of it. And in terms of finalizing it, you've had people review it through time. You've heard some comments. You heard some more comments the other day. So I would just suggest, again, this is your report. It's an independent report, that you consider the tribal comments that were made by the tribal representative during comment period. You might consider in your emerging science section, there wasn't mention of Snake River Falls Chinook, and the presentation on the screen had something akin to scant evidence or no evidence of something that looked like there might be multi-generational success. You recall the Snake River graph, so it's just something for you to consider. There were some additional graphs that Dr. Warhite put forward to us at the workshop. I'm not sure if those were in the report. If they weren't, I would encourage you to put all that good stuff that you can into the report as it's finalized. And lastly, the mitigation hatchery description was one that is a little different concept than what I've been used to anyway. Recall that we had some original direction that we'll get to later in the process about including a mitigation category as opposed to just a conservation hatchery and a harvest hatchery. And so when somebody builds a dam with no fish ladders and the FERC license or whatever else was there requires them to build a hatchery to preserve that genetic strain and keep it going, and the successes are, and the promise to society is, we've taken away the habitat that produced the natural population. We're going to replicate that with a hatchery population. That was a mentality for many years when the dams were being built. And so the purpose of that hatchery is to replace the salmon run for many purposes. Replacing that salmon run helps the genetics, keeps the genetic strain. In the case of Rapid River hatchery, that genetic strain would be lost if there wasn't a hatchery. Those fish go to the ocean. It's not just for orcas and other things, but there's many other reasons why a mitigation hatchery has a purpose than simply categorizing it as a harvest hatchery. So, again, your report is on the science, and it's your report. But that might come up again a little bit later. The one thing that happened in public comment was that there were a couple of individuals, one longtime expert who just came in the room recently, who wondered about some more public testimony as this process continues. Now, that was during public comment on the science report, but it referred to the rest of the process. So this is just maybe something for Lori more than the science report. But that seemed like a thing of value. And I talked to a couple of other people in the audience that said, as you get to the late summer and the fall, if there was an advisory body or a public meeting, or when we get to the language changes in the policy, that people can have a chance to look at those, I think it would be a very valuable thing for the commission to get back from the public their perspectives on the language changes. Mm-hmm. And then on the timeline, just one matter here, the little blue box there. This originally came from a workload discussion that I had with Ron and Lori. And then yesterday during the Columbia River business, the month of April came up again as a very busy thing. And I know Ron Warren, for one, is the dates of the April meeting are troublesome there. So what is supposed to happen in that blue box, as was described earlier, is this is kind of where the language change business starts in the policy. So on the matter of the coyotes, I guess this is the 101 thing where the box opens up, and this is where the commission is to say, here's some concepts. You know, in terms of a new policy, of those 11 guidelines, maybe a couple of those are completely obsolete, and our guidance is don't have those in the new policy. Maybe our guidance might be a change in the title. Maybe our general guidance would be, why don't you look at this, why don't you look at that. We've already got some guidance on a mitigation hatchery category. I don't see that as a lengthy agenda item just to do that. And so in this workload context, wondered about moving that to March and taking that off the April agenda and tagging it on to what is already a March agenda on this topic. It is currently designed just for feedback on the policy performance document, but if indeed it's short, that's why I'll ask the commissioners here at the table if they have more to that, that maybe that could be a workload saving idea. And we talked about that the other day, as I said, and I said I'd bring it up here at the front table. It means that little blue box they're moving to March. So, Mr. Chairman, there's my comments.
I guess I don't have the March agenda in front of me. Commissioner Baker does. Go ahead. Was that you?
I believe the blue box also requires input from the tribe, our co-managers. I mean, when you talk about policy recommendations, is that just from our side of things, or would that include input from the tribes as we move forward?
Ideally, we need all three streams of information, the three-legged mm-hmm. stool
concept, right.
So that co-manager's hatchery benefits document that will speak to those socio-ecological considerations, what these fish mean to tribal and non-tribal communities from that more social, legal, cultural perspective.
And I has a comment.
I think you don't sit down. Even meet with the tribes, you know, there's that document, but then we don't sit down with the tribes until late February to receive some of their input. So I don't know, Don, it may be unrealistic to try to move that into March. Go ahead.
Okay. Kelly?
So thank you for the question, Commissioner Grable. The purpose of the blue box is specific to the commission, and this process we're engaged in right now and separate from the third leg of the stool.
That helps.
It does appear that we have some room on, I think, on the Friday. Barbara, is that correct?
Well, yeah. Hey, Kelly, just while you're here, I was just wondering about this. Our agenda, as it's currently scripted, has us getting into town at for a meeting at 8 o'clock Thursday morning on the second half of the hatchery workshop. And then we have the blue box. But also, there's been some heartburn amongst us to have to travel Wednesday night, spend the night Wednesday night, if we don't have to. So my question is, the current draft agenda also doesn't have anything after lunch on Friday yet. It's going to fill in. So should we? Where?
It's all afternoon.
Yeah, I mean,
Thursday.
This is the
2-4,
huh?
This is the one in our briefing.
Presentation.
I'm sorry, I am.
Thursday.
I'm looking at the one from 8 hours previous. That shows how quick things fill in here. Okay, never mind.
Maybe we can save that for a future agenda.
Yeah.
It's just an idea. We could save it for a future agenda.
To be continued.
Actually, I don't have one in my book.
So, on the blue box, my understanding is that staff would not have to have an analysis or something ready for the March meeting. It would just be the blue box is guidance from the commission. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a public comment period there.
Okay.
So people could comment there. And if there is tribal comment at this, 101 stage, then, I think it'd be good to have it if there is some. And, the agenda item on Saturday, I think, is for about 40 minutes, so maybe change it to an hour or something like that. So it's just a possible efficiency move. If the staff would rather do it on April, I'm just reflecting a workload conversation. And yesterday, Ron Warren was a little stronger than he was in the hallway even about the April dilemma. So.
Commissioner Grable or Commissioner
Anderson? I'd like to respond to the idea that the policy recommendations were just principally from or directed by the table here, the interaction with the staff. I think that'd be a misreading of where the tribes will be regarding the different elements. I see more interaction and iterative going on if we really truly want this to be a robust and sustainable policy that guides us for years to come.
Just let me amplify on that. So who was it? Mark Twain, I guess, said the key to success is getting started. So this is the start of the policy language stage. And so I think we will have met with the tribal governments on February 26th and heard a little bit maybe about this. After this stage, it doesn't show here, but on our planner, it shows that the Fish Committee meeting in June would have this on the agenda, where maybe then we might see something in writing about a policy policy language. There might be some ongoing tribal co-management engagement I see all the way across the bottom. Then in July and August, there obviously then is a markup draft for policy language. And then there's a pretty lengthy open period there between then and October before a decision. And I see the tribal co-management engagement all across the bottom there. So.
I agree with that. Starting and getting something going is
important. But I also, I'm seeing lateral lines here, not vertical connectivity into the sequence, and it speaks to the difficulty of engineering an approach here, and I understand that. But I'm just, I agree that, getting started is important. I'm just saying that we want to be careful that we don't create a stumbling block in our haste to get something going to achieve the success, rather that we do it in a as thoughtful of a way as we can.
There's been a couple of instances fairly recently where we have started, and then the tribes have said, well, wait a minute, you know, we should be part of this process. And I would be, I don't want to create any more friction, but increase cooperation with our co-managers as we move forward. And just for the sake of a timeline, maintaining that relationship is more important than, say, a 30-day gap in a timeline, if you understand what I mean. We were kind of called on the carpet on our HSRG review and then this process without their participation. And so we have to be sensitive to that. And, you know, keeping to this initial timeline may be sacrificed for that benefit of that relationship, but I think that's worth it.
Did you want to speak?
Go ahead.
It might be worth not finalizing this. We're going to have hopefully a very positive meeting with the tribes in several weeks. We might have a much better sense of timeline and urgencies and methodology for going forward at that point. Let's throw that out.
Just one last thing on the scheduling. The key boxes here are July and August and October. We talked at length in Bellingham about getting this done in 2020. So those are the key boxes. And if folks are more comfortable with April, I was just trying to look at some workload relief is all. And so either way is fine with me.
Okay. Any other? Kelly.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. Just I'm sensing a lot of apprehension about co-manager involvement, and we are committed to, have been, and will continue to be committed to bringing our partners and our co-managers along in this process and identifying any issues that arise and bringing them to your attention. Having said that, at the Centennial Accord, some of our tribal co-managers expressed an interest for a joint hatchery policy. And I think that, and I don't want to speak for all of them, but there is some, you know, some traction out there in tribal land for that approach. That would be separate than what we're doing here, and we're engaged in those conversations with them as well. So I think it's just important for you all to understand that landscape as well. Those conversations are happening too.
Mr. Anderson.
Well, I don't know where that discussion is, or, you know, I heard that too. It just argues and amplifies the need to be very clear about what it is we're doing, what it is the other track may be, or how that those tracks merge and come together, because that's where the flybys occur.
I mean, I think there's some linkage between those two.
Yes, I guess I bring that up because we're in the early stages of those conversations with co-managers. I think Ron yesterday mentioned, or maybe it was the day before, mentioned the kickoff of North of Falcon that happened. Where were we? Quinault, a couple weeks ago. This was a part of that conversation. We're trying to get some meetings together. Who knows how long it would take for us to work through a joint policy, and who knows if that comes to fruition. What we need as a program and as an agency is a commission policy and guidance through that policy. So I think it's important for us to keep both tracks going, not knowing where either one is going to land. So in the end, we have a policy, whether it's a commission policy that provides us guidance in how we operate and manage our hatcheries, you know, utilizing sound science and hatchery reform principles. We need something in place regardless of which direction we go. And again, I'll say this again because I truly mean it. It is our intent, and we are committed to working with co-managers throughout this process, in addition to working with them in those conversations about the possibility of a joint tribal state hatchery policy.
Okay. Commissioner.
You know, and I'm glad to hear that, and I'm hoping that those talks with co-managers would even include some from the other side of the mountains, not just our Puget Sound and coastal tribes, because we have very significant cooperative programs with Spokane tribes, the Yakima tribes, and I'm hoping that they are part of this conversation. Because there's a lot of potential. We do a lot of good work together, and we want to recognize those relationships.
Absolutely. That will be part of the deal.
Okay. Is that complete your
yes, thank
work
you.
Again, Lori?
Thank you very much.